Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and having with us again this week, Anthony Fiola, the Director of Adult Discipleship for Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Anthony's a very good friend, and he works with us at Renewal Ministries as well. He engages in some of our international mission work and helps lead it in different places, and he'll be touching on that today. But if you haven't had a chance to tune in the program this week, Anthony, who's a really wonderful teacher of the Word of God, and he's a revert back to the Catholic Church, and he was sharing that story this week as well. You might find it very inspiring, and to get at it, you could just go to the Ave Maria app or go to renewalministries.net and browse our website there, and all of our radio programs are there, easy to access, listen to them at any time, night or day. Welcome back, Anthony.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we ended yesterday. You talked quite a bit about Our Lady. We were celebrating the solemnity together and her impact on you and the role that she played in bringing you back to the Catholic Church. And it's really very, very inspiring. So where would you like to go today?
Yeah, I think we can start there. And then,
okay, good.
I think Mary is, as we talked yesterday, the model disciple, you know, somebody whom Christ was formed in. And she didn't only bear as mother, but she didn't only carry the Word made flesh, but the Word became flesh in all of her life. Mm-hmm. So she is just a beautiful image and icon of what we're all made for.
So is he in flesh in us is partly what you're saying, right? Like in the sense of differently than her, kind of the literal way, obviously, but that our whole person also
is surrendered. We begin to fully surrender and conform to Christ. Christ in us is the hope of glory.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so what Mary experienced was a singular type of grace, but through the incarnation, we do conform to him fully, body and soul. We will enter into one day the resurrection of the body.
Bring it on.
So that is coming.
Yeah.
And that is the purpose of the incarnation.
Since you touched on it, that what popped into my mind was that one of the paragraphs from the catechism that talks about when Jesus' ascension.
Yeah.
And he said he rose from the dead, obviously, and he wasn't fully glorified at that point, but he enters in human flesh into the throne room of God from what it's existed from all eternity in the very heart, glory of God. Jesus goes home to the Father and he brings us with him.
Yes.
And human flesh, which was because of the sin and the fall, obviously made for glory, but fell from glory and had a death-directed destiny, is now come fully alive and glorified into the magnificent majesty and weight and eternal reality of God. That's really where we're going, and it's in him.
Amen. And St. John Paul II says it like this, that this human body does not tend towards the grave, but towards glorification.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So Mary, our Blessed Mother, who was somebody, obviously, who has fully conformed to Jesus, one of the things she also did was give Jesus to the world.
Yeah,
and this is the life of a disciple. One of the major callings of all of our lives as baptized believers is to proclaim the gospel, to be a witness to the people around us. To some of us, there's an international type of calling where we go and do that all around the world. But that in and of itself, that sharing of the gospel with other people is conforming to Jesus. It's becoming like him. In the luminous mysteries of the rosary, the third mystery is the proclamation of the kingdom. And I really do believe, you know, as we enter into that mystery, that our calling is to conform to it, to proclaim the kingdom like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's for all of us. There's very little that has made at least me personally feel more alive than doing that, entering into that union with him. And as you mentioned earlier, I've helped with and partnered with you on Renewal Ministries on some international missions. And one of the recent ones, most recent one I was on, was in Papua New Guinea, where I did really experience this sense of conforming to Jesus and the proclamation of the kingdom. As you know, when you go on these international mission trips, there are different levels of suffering sometimes, because you're either sleepless nights, you're tired.
For sure.
Sometimes you're not feeling so well. There's just a lot going on, and you work hard. You're preaching and teaching the Word of God a lot of times from the beginning of the day to late into the night. And I'm a morning person, so usually around 7 or 8 o'clock at night, I'm starting to get tired. But you sense that conforming to the Lord. And this time it was just special for me because I remember we were flying from one city to the next, and I was just looking out over all the mountains and just praying. And as I often do in some of these places, especially if it's the first time seeing them, I always have this moment of like, Lord, wow, never did I imagine that you would bring me to places like this when I said yes to you.
And Papua New Guinea's way out there. Tell our friends where that is. Maybe they don't know.
You
know?
It's a long journey. It's a labor of love. You can say that, but it's way over there by Australia. And just to give you an idea, getting there, it's the way I went. It's a 14 and a half hour direct flight from Detroit to South Korea. That's the first leg. 6.5 down to Singapore. Then you have to stay all night in Singapore because of the flights to Papua New Guinea don't go every day. And then another 6.5 hours over to Papua New Guinea. And oh yeah, you cross the international date line, so you lose a whole day when you go. So we leave on a Monday and we don't get there till Thursday. And then you jump right in and start preaching the gospel. But this time as we were going and just constantly preaching the word of God together with other people on our team, Lloyd and Nancy Greenhall were there. My wife was with me with us on this time.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. As we constantly were just preaching the word of God, that sense just came that this is more than just sermons and talking. There's a real conforming to Jesus in it. But that's also true if you walk across the street and talk to your neighbor mm-hmm. about Jesus.
Yeah.
And about repentance and about the gospel. You start to conform to him. And that's where I began as a 16-year-old kid talking to my friends in high school.
Yeah.
And I said yes to the international missionary calling. But then as I described a couple of days ago, there was an intense entry into it as I went over to Sweden. But then there was many years of waiting on the Lord as he began to fulfill this calling in my life more and more. Because there's a lot of conforming to Jesus in my attitudes, in my character, in all of my life, to be who he needs me to be in those moments, to be like him in those moments. That it's not just me starting up this ministry so I can be God's man of power for the hour, you know. It's just, yeah. It's about conforming to the heart of Jesus in the waiting seasons, in the trials, and the things that he allows in our life. Are real conforming to his suffering and his sorrowful mysteries in a really a very real way that does something in your heart so that when you do minister, you begin to speak like him, you begin to act like him, you begin to love like him. And for example, back in the late 90s, as I was praying about mission, I was praying over Oceania, which is where Papua New Guinea is. I would pray over Papua New Guinea all the time. Back in the 90s, late 90s and early 2000. And then throughout the years, it would come up in my prayer time and I would just pray over it. And I knew in my heart, I felt like the Lord had spoken to me way back in the late 90s and said, you will go there, but not yet. And it just went in. It was kind of one of those, all right, Lord, let it be unto me according to your word.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it just buried into my heart like Mary. You begin to ponder it mm-hmm. in your heart. And when it comes up, you pray about it. And to be honest, I'd really forgotten about it in different seasons because it had gone so long. And then about 2 years ago, I was praying over it a lot more. Just one summer, it just came up into my heart and I was just praying over Oceania again. I have this little atlas that I use in my prayer time sometimes and just pray over the nations. And I was just focusing in on that a lot and it just kept stirring up in my heart. And it wasn't that long after that, you called me on the phone. And you said, Anthony, this is a long shot, but we need somebody in Papua New Guinea. This was about two years ago. And the Spirit of God just came upon me. Like when you called me and you said that to me, and I just told you, I'll pray about it. I said yeah. something like that. I wasn't yeah. real hyped yeah. about it or anything. But I went up to dinner. It was a dinner time. And I sat down at the table and I told my wife what the call was about. And the Holy Spirit was just very much over me. And I remember just staring at the table under the anointing of the Holy Spirit as I'm trying to eat. And my wife just looks at me because she knows that look. She goes, Anthony, you should go. And I knew that I knew that it was the timing of it.
Yeah.
So we go to Papua New Guinea. And then I start to realize a little bit more why Why the Waiting? Why the Purification of
How
the
long
Waiting?
Was it? How long was it?
So that was in the 90s, and then I just went 2 years ago, so almost 30 years.
Yeah. So Anna is Anthony's lovely wife, who also has a missionary calling and has had it for years, and they met in Sweden at the missionary school and everything, and she said to me later, because I didn't realize how much she was also waiting. She said, the Lord said, lay it down, the missionary call, as you're raising your family, and the time will come, and just be patient. So all those years, you guys were patient.
Yeah, our main mission field was marriage and family. Yeah. We poured into our domestic church and put it all there. And the Lord would open up. It was like it would trickle. Mm-hmm. Little doors would open here and there to do mission locally, just with coworkers at work. And then eventually internationally again. But this time, that first time in Papua New Guinea, I realized part of the reason for the waiting was I was ministering to Catholics. I was not even in the Catholic Church when the Lord put Papua New Guinea in my heart. Hmm. And one of the things we were teaching them was apologetics, because there's a lot of anti-Catholicism in Papua New Guinea from some of the other Christians. And they wanted us to teach, how do you answer these questions? Questions I would have never been able to answer or talk about. I would have been on the other side, like back then, challenging the Catholics. But I realized when the Lord said, Oceania, Papua New Guinea, putting these things in my heart so many years ago, he had a long process for me to walk through to get there. He had a different purpose, a higher purpose. And that higher purpose was deeper union with him, which I eventually would have received by coming back to the sacraments, back to the Eucharist, and then started to understand more and more what the church fully taught, so I could be a better missionary.
We just have a little bit of time, but I want to ask you a critical question. I think for a lot of people, even as they decide to come closer to the Lord and follow him, it's like, how do I know when I'm doing God's will? And so you had this desire, you had this calling to do international mission, and you mm-hmm. laid it down for years, because there wasn't time. Was that difficult for you? Did you feel like, am I really hearing the Lord? Like, how did you experience that?
My experience is always difficult in the beginning as you're starting to work through it, because your flesh is kicking and screaming, because you have a preconceived idea of this is what God means when he talks to me. Yeah. And we put our own pictures around it. And he has a higher view. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. And he's thinking about something totally different. And it wasn't just about mission. Mm-hmm. It's about union with him. And when I said, Lord, I want the real thing, he was going to give that to me. And in those waiting times of purification, yes, it's hard. But if you just surrender to them and believe that God will raise Isaac back to life, if you have to put him to death, then he will, in the right place at the right time. But his timing is better than yours.
Wonderful. Well, Anthony, this has been a fantastic week, and so glad we're able to celebrate this octave with you. Friends, the Lord has a call on each and every one of us. That means you, and you're a sent one. You've been baptized into Christ. If you've been baptized into Christ and confirmed, you've got the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit in your life, and the Lord wants to just gently bring you into his full purpose for your life. Don't ever be afraid of it. Just welcome it and say yes to Jesus. Till next week, this is Peter Herbeck and Anthony Fiola saying, let's all together walk in the Spirit. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says, we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.